What's up, Dutch Nation? Today on the podcast, we've got Alex Pogue. So Alex is from Meridian, Idaho. He got his start working for DBU while he was attending Boise State University. And he explored a few different paths, but always kept coming back to Dutch. Eventually, he dove into management, the mob, lead mob, and now he's about to take on a regional operator position in Everett, Washington. His path definitely took a few interesting twists and turns, but Alex reminds us that it's important to enjoy the journey. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the Alex Pogue podcast. Hey, welcome everybody to the Dutch Bros podcast. Mark Berry here. Alongside me is Shane Tappan.
Good morning.
And it is kind of, I mean, it's not early. Let's be real. A lot of you guys are up at like 5 a.m.
That's true.
But this is a little earlier than we normally do it. And we got a super special guest on the red couch today.
Come on.
Soon to be regional operator of Everett, Washington.
Everett, Washington, yeah.
Alex Pogue, y'all.
Yep. Well, welcome, man. Yeah.
Thanks for having me, guys. Yeah. This is awesome.
Let's kickstart it with the old classic. What did you first drink when you were either getting hired or as a customer? What was your go-to coffee, and what do you drink now?
Oh, man, when I first started coming through was a small vanilla Breve.
Ah.
That's what I loved. So drank that, and then Breve became too much, so then downgraded to 2%, so just a little latte, and then that was a little too much milk, so then just started drinking Americanos. So
what are you drinking now?
Americano with honey and cream.
Gotcha. So this seems to be the natural progression.
Yeah.
You start with something with some sweetener. It progressively gets less and less sweet. Like, I mean, once you're getting those free coffees every day.
That's when you know you grew up. Let's just dive into, you know, like your story. Like, where'd you come from? What started this whole Dutch journey for you?
I was just in my hometown, Meridian, Idaho, is where I'm from.
Okay.
Living there, I was working a couple part-time jobs, coaching cross country and track. I used to just stop at, you know, like a gas station and get crappy gas station coffee, and then started going through Dutch Bros, and then just kind of fell in love with the people there, got to know some of the people there, and the manager at the time just offered me a job one day, and I was like, sure, why not? Why not work 3 part-time jobs, try to coach cross country and go to school, you know, like, let's just do it all. But honestly, shortly after that, I dropped my other jobs and just kind of dove in fully into the Dutch Bros culture and what it stood for, and I just loved it, and how it represented the community and the people and taking care of its customers and its employees. So, like most people, fell in love with that.
And so you worked for Yarnell to start off?
Yep.
Nice.
Worked with Yarnell for about 6 years. Yeah, good old Jeff. We love that guy. Shout out to him. He's a stud.
Did you go to the Meridian opening? The last one that they had?
Yeah, when they did it at that super nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was there too.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey. That was I was managing that shop at the time. So that was
that opening was like, it was at a castle.
Yeah.
Like legit, like,
so
like
nice.
A stone building, and you walk in, there's like 17 like crystal chandeliers like down this hallway.
Wow.
And like there's like the Statue of David was there.
There was a choir playing the whole time.
Yeah. Yeah, no DJ, just
choir. Just chanting monks. Welcome to your opening dinner. Dude, sorry. I'm in a wacky mood. I'm just going to apologize ahead of time, ladies and gentlemen.
No,
cold brew hasn't kicked in yet.
Yeah, I'm still waiting for mine to kick in, too.
So how long have you been at DB for?
7 years now. So,
okay. Heat.
Yep.
So when did you make the decision? You're like, okay, like enough with the part-time jobs. This is what I want.
Honestly, it was within a month of just working at Dutch Bros. It was.
Wow.
Yeah.
I got in and just saw what it was all about. You know, I'd worked a bunch of part-time jobs and done a bunch of different things. And
totally.
Didn't like any of it, didn't have a direction, and then saw this, felt this, and was like, all right, I'm in. Like, this is what I want to do, and I'm going to go as far as this will let me go and see what happens and go from there. And Dutch Bros does that for so many people. It gives them that opportunity to find what they love. And for me, it was like, I want to do Dutch Bros, which a lot of people say, but there were other things that caught my eye and my passion throughout the last few years. So, which I think Dutch Bros gives that opportunity. And
absolutely, yeah.
So, yeah.
So did you just do the kind of natural progression of got into like an assistant manager spot, manager?
So yeah, back then no shift lead. So I stepped into an assistant role pretty shortly after I started, pretty small area. So we only had a few shops. So funny story, I actually stepped out of that because I finished school and wanted to go do a big boy job. So I just worked part-time again at Dutch Bros, worked at a bank. Don't recommend that. Not my favorite.
Oh, and you were, just to set the record straight, Boise State, right?
Yep. I graduated from Boise State.
Yeah.
Yep.
The Smurf turf.
Yep. Smurf turf. That's right. Go Broncos.
Yeah. What was
their quarterback?
Z with the Z.
Oh, Zabransky.
Zabransky.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Still the greatest trick college play ever to win the bowl game. To beat Adrian Peterson.
Dude, I know.
Took down the mighty Oklahoma. Sorry, a little sports trivia there for you. Look up that play when Zabransky beat Oklahoma. Yeah. It's freaking nuts. It's like Statue of Liberty trick play or whatever.
It's like 06?
06, yeah. Probably,
yeah.
07.
06 or 07, yeah.
Fiesta Bowl, man.
Yeah. It was so crazy, yep.
So, yeah, okay, so the bank.
So I did that. Did that for maybe a month.
You're just like,
did you
what
get
am
like
doing?
A finance degree then or business?
No,
or?
I actually had an English literature degree.
Oh, okay.
So it was, I originally wanted to be a teacher and that was the goal. But then the bank thing kind of showed up. And so I was like, oh, let's see if I like this. Didn't like it. That was very short lived. And then was able to step back into an assistant role like almost immediately after that. So
that's it.
Cool. My gap was like so little, but I like to say that just to show that it's okay to step out and find something else.
Sure, yeah. Totally. Don't ever burn bridges, you know?
Yeah.
Right.
It's like if you do, okay, Dutch Bros, maybe I'm thinking about exploring a different path for a little while, but I love Dutch Bros. So, you know, give the 2-week notice, make sure everybody's good, make sure you're not ruffling feathers and... They'll gladly take you back if you ever decide to come back.
Yep. And my manager, Tyler Squibb, is the one who convinced me to stay part-time because I was working 7 days a week because I was full-time at the bank. And then he's like, just work 2 days a week. We'll accommodate. Like, it's cool. And he goes, we know that.
Did you have some student loans to pay?
Yep. That was it was a panic move. Like, I need to pay off student loans. I need to make, you know, try to make those big boy bucks.
I get it. And I I don't get it. I only went to school for a little bit. Luckily, didn't get in debt, but I see it all the time with others.
It's crazy.
Yeah, it's crazy. So
you worked at the bank and then you just decided to rob it. And to pay off your student loans.
Yep.
That's exactly like, you know, why
I'm
going to
go back to DB, but I'm going to take something from here.
Jesse James.
Yeah, exactly.
But no, so went back to assistant. And then
went back to assistant and then management shortly after that.
Yeah.
My manager moved to another shop to manage that one. And so then I was able to take over our original location in Meridian. Huge growing period for me because it was all so rapid. If my timeline's correct, that all happened within a year time. Like my first year at Dutch Bros, it was all just this rapid fire here, there. So just learning the leadership, you know, what works in Dutch Bros. That first year was a lot of growth, a lot of learning and a lot of coaching, a lot of reading books and listening to podcasts, just really diving into what it means to be a good servant leader.
Yeah,
and
totally.
So that was a huge piece of my growth and learning that first year. So. Mm-hmm. After that, it was just growing with the company and taking on new challenges. Moved to another shop. A manager had left. And so at the time, it was a slower shop in the area. So it was...
Let's kick it up a notch.
Yeah, let's see if I can, you know, develop these people, work there. And then had an opportunity. We opened... You talked about it, that new shop.
Yeah.
We opened it in 2016.
So since then, did you migrate to like any different states, cities... Or did you stay in that area? Or?
So what I did, so I worked there, managed that shop for a while. I was looking to, you know, expand my horizons. And I applied for a couple of operator opportunities. And feedback was essentially Andrew Randall. I talked to him one day. He's out in 2C next to us.
Yeah.
Just talking to him one day. And he basically told me, he said it way better than I ever have. But we're a relationship business. And not only with our customers, but the people that we work with.
Totally. Sure, yeah.
So he's like, you just need to know more. You need to know more people. You need to know how to do different things. Yeah. Like, you know Meridian very well. Outside of that, like, what do you know?
Yeah.
Essentially is what he said. So I was like, you know, that's a good point. So mulled on that for a while and then applied for a lead mob spot a couple summers ago. Didn't get that, but got offered just a mob position. So
perfect.
Super cool opportunity. Sat down with the wife and talked to her. We knew it would be a lot of travel and just the opportunity to see other places and see other things and really see if this is something I wanted to do.
At this point, this is like the real plunge.
Right.
Because obviously managing a shop, it takes a lot, you know, but after... I'd say a couple years, it's like you got a pretty good feel for what that is.
Yeah.
And I assume maybe a little bit of like a pay cut or like technically like a demotion.
Yeah. I mean, if you look at the, like if there's like a linear or like a progression, I mean, it's definitely not a promotion. I try to look at it as a sidestep, you know, changing lanes within the company, but still having the opportunity to lead and do different things.
Totally.
So I try not to look at it like that. But
no, for sure, because I think it was extremely beneficial for what you wanted to do.
Basically just gaining experience. You dive into the madness, and that's when you really gain the experience. Like, okay, this is what it's different. You get the full picture.
I encourage anyone to do it because you work with... You know, the best of the best. They're the cream of the crop.
Yeah.
And they challenged me from the moment I stepped on to the mob. I mean, I had the experience, you know, 6 years of management under my belt, and I stepped onto my first trip and was just absolutely floored by the amount of leadership and servitude and graciousness that everyone on the team had.
Yeah, yeah.
It challenged me to, you know, up my game, you know.
Mm-hmm. What was your first mob trip?
I went out to Gresham, Oregon, for their transition out there. So it was Logan and Kelsey in Austin. So they split Gresham. So I was there before they were there. So I was part of that, getting everything ready to go. Mm-hmm. When I was there, I ended up going to Hood River, Oregon for their transition as well. So
When
Triggy took over. Yeah. So both of those, I mean, there's sometimes some negativity shit on those, but it really just shows like how much people crave our culture and our way of life, because when we go in there, they see what it can be, and then they look at it and they say, I want that.
Yeah.
Like, let's get to that. And so then they buy in, and it's just, it's a fun thing, and it's a great thing to be a part of.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you did eventually take on that lead mob role, huh?
I did. Yep.
So how'd that happen?
So a couple months later, after being on a handful of trips, I applied for Idaho Falls operator position. Ian called me and said that he had bad news and good news. And the bad news was that I didn't get Idaho Falls, but that they're offering me a lead mob spot. So it was kind of like a roller coaster of emotions on that phone call. So
you're like, what?
Okay, all right.
Yeah, okay, cool.
Yeah, this is great. So one thing I always like to say is, you know, for opportunities, you know, knock on a door, and if it doesn't open, don't try to barrel your way through it.
Totally.
Because it's just going to open other opportunities. If you take a step back, there's another door that's opening for you. Mm-hmm. So walk through that door, because guess what? You may be able to walk through the door you originally knocked on.
Yeah.
And so I think that was kind of like the lead mob spot for me. Like, I wanted it. I thought I could do it. But then saying, no, not right now, and being like, okay, what else can I do?
Yeah.
And it eventually came back around. So
yeah.
I think those opportunities, just wait for them and be patient, and you'll get to them, you know, where you're supposed to be.
Yeah, and it's interesting. I think just a lot of people, their scope is a little too narrow, and they don't always see the big picture of how much this company is growing.
Yeah.
So if they apply for a position and they don't get it, it is kind of like a tendency for a lot of people to just think that that opportunity is gone. It's like concrete. That job was only available for that time, and that's it. It's like, man, there's going to be a lot more popping up. Just be patient.
It's a game plan.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
And not getting your initial promotion that you apply for, that isn't even necessarily a failure.
Right.
Yeah, because you were probably being highly considered for it, you know, so you're doing something right.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Totally. Well, so here we sit today in this space. Teal has been the operator up there in Everett. Kate Launstrom transitioning out of Mob Boss and taking on the Eugene territory. We stole Teal.
Yeah.
So now Everett sits, and here you are ready to take the throne. So explain to us a little bit about what you're going through right now, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. Huge congratulations, yes.
Yeah, I mean, this has been a pretty wild ride. I mean, I don't know if many people know, but they do the top 10, and then so you just kind of sit on that list until they give you a phone call offering you a, you know, a spot. I was down on the list number 10, 11, 12 in that range, and so just kind of waiting the last 6 or so months for a phone call and having long discussions with the wife of where we wanted to be. And originally for me, like, it was, you know, Colorado or bust was always the mindset almost. Just go to Colorado. That's where I want to be. I love that area. I love Denver. But then hearing the opportunities that come down the line, you start thinking, you start discussing different things. Can I live in this area? Can I live in that area? And honestly, we had never really talked about Washington before. I didn't even think about it as an area. Didn't know there was any opportunities coming up there. And then when Lance approached me about it, it was fun for me and Tiffany, my wife, to talk about and discuss the area, because we both love the Seattle area. We love the Pacific Northwest, being from Idaho. So we just love this area. And so it just kind of, for us, felt right.
Yeah.
It felt like it was where we were meant to be and where we wanted to be and where we could pour into a community that Teal has done such a great job of building the brand and building a culture, and that crew is just amazing. So going into this opportunity, I feel so lucky, so blessed to do this. And so, yeah, it's just been a kind of a wild ride the last couple months, you know, getting ready to go.
So back in the Meridian days, you made the decision to change to a new shop and manage a whole new crew. So what lessons did you learn from that you can now apply to take on a whole franchise basically now?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think for me, one of the biggest things is not going in and being a boss. I mean, we all know that.
Yeah.
But just getting in there with them and getting to know them, because that's really what I want to do anyways, is just get to know who they are and get to know their passions and help them pursue those passions and show them that I'm there for them. Mm-hmm. Because I think that when you take on a crew that had such a great leader like Teal, who I know does that for them, continuing that tradition of pouring into our baristas who are our face of the company and giving them opportunities to grow. And that was one of the biggest lessons I learned moving shops is how to do that and not come in and point fingers or let's make this change, let's make that change. Because they've been doing things for a while now. I don't need to reinvent the wheel.
Yeah.
And they do things for a reason. So going in and adapting to them, not making them adapt to me.
Yeah, and it's interesting too, because under this giant umbrella that is Dutch Bros, we all have certain commonalities throughout, but every stand is also very unique, you know, like they have their own personality. So I think that's cool, man. I think that's the right approach.
So in your whole 7-year span, who have you gone to like as like a mentor?
Well, first of all, my wife, Tiffany, has been a huge inspiration and sounding board, and she worked at Dutch for a few years. She managed as well.
Okay. She gets it. She gets the lifestyle.
The lifestyle. She understands it. She's just a brilliant human, super smart, and cares about people more than anyone I've ever met. And then regional manager out in Meridian, one of my best friends, Tyler Squibb, him as well. He was my manager, then my regional. And same thing, just servant leadership, heart, and just cares. And so always kind of leaned on him to learn and grow. And he helped me a ton. And then in the last year, it's been Kate Launstrin, you know, was able to be on the Futures with her.
Yeah.
Get to pick her brain a ton.
Kate, get on the dang podcast.
Yeah, let's go, Kate. Where are you at?
Every episode now, that's like the new theme, is like, let's get her name mentioned so that she'll finally come
scared.
Join us. She's an amazing human being.
Oh, absolutely amazing. So, yeah, her and Ashley Smith, just her, know, her heart and her culture and the way that she approaches people is just unreal. So,
and she's a lead mobber as well. Mm-hmm. How many are there now? Five?
Five.
Six.
Six. Seven. Oh, yeah, because now Nate's in.
Because Nate's in now, yeah. You got Ashley, Nate, Mo, Bryce, Amber, Jenny, Jackson, Nate.
Seven. Yeah, that's right. Jackson Luckin, y'all, if you remember his podcast when he was managing OG Store 001, he is now a lead mob.
Yeah.
Still living with Shane, though.
Yeah. it's gonna be lonely.
So no shortage of great people to bounce ideas off and get experience from and advice, and that's cool. And I think that is a common thread with some of our people that have ascended in this company is they're definitely asking questions and they're learning from other people's victories and their mistakes as well.
Totally. Yeah. I'm a big observer. I'm not a big question asker. So I just like to see how people are doing things and figure it out as I go.
Yeah.
Like watch Kate, how she does things, how she approaches people and be like, wow, that's amazing. Like I'm going to try that.
Yeah.
And then does it work? Does it not work? How does it work for me? And
trial and error.
That's how I like to do it. That's just a...
What are some things that you do for personal growth? Like, do you still listen to podcasts, read books?
Yeah, I'm an avid reader, so I read a ton. It was nice being on the mob, honestly, because like, it was on a plane or in an airport so often. I just, you know, devoured books.
Got any favorites?
You know, one of my favorites is the QBQ, the question behind the question. That was huge, I think, in my early leadership development. I think is why I love it so much, because it spoke so much to me at the time. Just knowing how to ask the right questions and make it about other people and not about yourself.
I have a serious problem with that.
I think we all do naturally.
Shane and I are just flooded with insecurity. We like the sound of our own voice.
I'm talking.
Listen to me.
No, Alex, you're going to listen to me right now. Cold brew is the best. That's a game changer, a lot of those books. And it's cool because, I mean, anybody that comes out here, HQ, wants a good read, you know, hit Lance or anyone in people development. Yeah. A lot of times they just got mad copies of all these books. Yeah. It's like, here you go, just take it, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, the information's out there.
Another one I really like is The Subtle Art of Not Giving a
Yeah, I love that book.
Who wrote that one?
What's his name?
I can't remember.
That's an amazing title.
I was in an airport. What's that list? Where it's like you don't have a seat.
Standby.
So I got booted off the first flight, and so I had to wait another 2 hours.
Right.
So I went to the little store and I was looking through the books and I saw that one. Mm-hmm. I was like, I'm going to give it a read. Honestly, one of my favorite books.
Oh, awesome.
It's so good.
Yeah. What's the concept of it? I mean, it sounds pretty blunt, but.
Right. I think just kind of what I got away from it was do the things that work for you.
Exactly.
Like, don't worry about how everybody else is doing it. Like why is Shane successful? Like, don't copy Shane.
Yeah.
Like, don't do what he does. Like, don't care what he does. Yeah. Care enough to learn from him, but don't mimic him.
Yeah.
Because what he does isn't always going to work for you.
For me, it's just like learning to care, but not caring about everything.
Yeah.
Like, putting your energy into certain things, not everything. Because if you do it with everything, you're going to get bogged down and fluttered and just freaking out.
I love that one. I'm gathering from what we've talked about, 3 part-time jobs at one point, student, bouncing around, taking on new challenges. You don't strike me as someone that necessarily likes to sit still a lot. What charges you, fills your cup outside of work, something that you can sink your teeth into that like really gets you jazzed?
That's so funny you said that because actually I love when I'm not doing those things, I love just sitting.
Ah. So I was wrong.
Yeah. No, I love sports. Like, I'm a big sports guy. Like, this time of year is one of my favorite times of year, September, October. We got, you know, baseball playoffs coming up. You know, my Atlanta Braves are making a push for the playoffs. So, you know, we'll see what happens
back
there.
Back in the fold. They were terrible last year.
Yeah, not good the last few years. So, you know, we got a good run going.
That's good.
So, we got baseball, football, basketball, all starting right now or ending. So, just, I love sports, play fantasy sports. ESPN's probably my most visited website. Read probably every article and that ever comes out. So I love to read as well. Big science fiction, fantasy guy too, like cool, those epic novels. And when I'm home, I like to just kind of be.
You've exhausted a lot of your energy doing all the other stuff.
Yeah, so I like to pour my energy into my work and do that. So when I get home, I can be home and
just decompress.
Yeah.
Yep. And me and Tiff, we like to go find the best, like, happy hour, bang for your buck places to go with the best food, best drinks, like best atmosphere, just kind of explore that. Boise's really cool, has cool areas like that.
Boise is a very interesting place because, like, honestly, it's the middle of nowhere.
Oh, yeah.
It's
literally by itself.
But, and it's like, it's like,
little
it's
a city.
It's Idaho's what? Idaho's biggest city?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Yeah. So it's also a college town because you got Boise State there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the Dutch Bros scene is thriving, you know,
with it is.
Brian White and Yarnell and all. I mean, we got a lot of shops. And then obviously the 2C not that far away either.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That whole region has been a sick spot for Dutchies.
For growth.
No doubt.
Yeah, it has.
Is Tiff going to be a little bit involved in the shop? Or is she going to take a hands-off approach? Or has she got other aspirations?
So she has a career right now. She has a degree in HR management. So she's in the HR world. She works for a tech company down there in Boise. And we're hoping that she can find a job up there with one of the many tech companies in the Seattle area. So
There's no shortage of tech companies in that area.
She loves what she does. She's a recruiter. So she's able to find the right people.
Well, I know you're a busy guy and you got things to do, so we should probably wrap it.
Yeah.
Cool.
Basically, how we end this thing is, if there's one piece of advice you could give to our young barista audience or any of our listeners really who are wanting to take that next step into leadership or just figure out what they want out of this life, any advice you can give them, what would it be?
Actually, can I give 3? Is that allowed?
Oh, yeah. Give as many as you want.
I actually said this to the most recent mob crew that just came through here. Number one, have patience. Have patience with the, you know, what you're doing, how you're doing it.
Totally.
Like we said earlier, if you knock on a door and it doesn't open, like, that's okay. That means there's something better in store for you.
Yeah.
Number two, give grace. Give grace to those around you because we're all human. We all make mistakes. And if you give grace, then grace will be given to you. So, and I think that's what we're all about is learning and growing. And grace is a huge piece of that. And then number three, enjoy the journey because whether you end up at Dutch Bros or wherever you end up, it's not the end we ever trying to get to. It's the pieces in the middle that we remember. Mm. So enjoy the journey. Those are mine 3 pieces of advice.
I like that. It's not always the destination. It's the journey.
Yep.
Life's spoken a journey, like a true a hippie.
Life's a journey, not a destination, brother.
No, but it really is. Yeah, I know.
We're a younger company. Mm. And so it's just like, these are some people's like golden moments in their life.
Do you guys watch The Office?
Love it.
When Andy Bernard, one of the episodes, he says at the end, he goes, I wish they would tell you when you were in the good old times. I want to know when I'm there. And I think I think we're in the good times. Yeah. You're in the good times.
I love that show, bro.
That's a great
show. I've seen it like six times through.
Jeez.
But Alex, bro, thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Alex.
No, appreciate
we're
you guys.
We're super stoked for you, dude. Congrats. Yeah.
Everlit.
Take a quick little venture off when you're going towards Seattle. Check out Everett.
Yeah, we're like 15 minutes away.
Get some coffee.
Perfect.
Yeah. All right, we love you, Dutch Nation.
Love you guys.
Love you guys.
Peace.
Bye-bye.
Later.